Thank you for your patience, and we are going live with Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! All hail Ben Birch, god of streaming audio, made it work again. He's been kicking computers all day as the servers have been misbehaving right rambunctiously. The crapulous weather blowing through, crapulous weather in Chicago, crapulous weather here. And sometimes it's just a little miracle to make this all happen. Who am I kidding? It's a little miracle every time the light goes on. And we know who makes the miracles happen. We're pragmatic miracleists. We don't wait for miracles from things we can't see. We just get the really happening kind of miracles from folks like Ben, who make the Head On Radio Network work. The hardest working man in liberal talk strikes again. Thank you, Ben Birch. Now, coming up, I realize we're at an odd bit of a start here, but coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be talking with Mikey Weinstein, head of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, in regard to this latest outrage at Fort Leavenworth. I think you're going to find this quite interesting. I know the story broke Monday afternoon, and you may have heard about it on other liberal talk programs, but I don't know if you've actually heard from the person who is behind the breaking news itself. That's why I've waited on the story until now. So coming up about 5-6 minutes past the hour, we will be talking with Mikey Weinstein. What else tonight? Whatever you want to bring along. Among other things, well, it's prayer meeting night, so maybe we'll take a couple of looks at people who are desperately in need of prayer.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Because it's just like that old spiritual, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Actually, what America needs, what a lot of America needs, isn't prayer, but action. Concerted action by dedicated people determined to return this nation to the rule of law as opposed to the rule of thugs that we unfortunately live under at this present time. Thugs like Mr. Scooter Libby. Well, we talked about that last night and the night before. We'll leave that alone. Yet my children just can't understand all these ugly charges against Scooter Libby, you barbarian judge, you. That's the way these people are, though, isn't it? While they preach personal responsibility to the rest of us, they will hell and be damned before they'll take it upon themselves. Isn't that about the size of it? So we've got that, and I'll tell you what, just a quick little something before we do get to the top of the hour. I think our good friend David in South Carolina sent this along. It's one of those, you know, only in the South kind of stories. Now, David said only in South Carolina, but I lived in Alabama, and I live in West Virginia, and now it could happen here, too. One Sumter, South Carolina man was charged with aggravated assault and three others with second-degree lynching after they threatened a man with a poisonous snake. Now, bear in mind, there's some marginal journalism going on there. You're not quite sure out of the first paragraph who had the poisonous snake. One Sumter man was charged with aggravated assault and three others with second-degree lynching after they threatened a man with a poisonous snake. Throw me down the stairs, my hat. Throw Mama from the train a kiss. Man killed by car crossing the street. No, apparently Ross Farmer, a 27-year-old of Sumter, was charged with assault with intent to kill after he threatened a 40-year-old man in the parking lot of a bar with a venomous snake. Sumter Police Chief Patty Patterson said the snake got away. That's the way it always is with the snake. The snake always gets away. It's kind of like the Bush administration. Now, apparently these three guys were holding up what is described as a cottonmouth water moccasin. See, where I grew up, you either called them a cottonmouth or you called them a water moccasin. It was a bit redundant to call them cottonmouth water moccasins. But here's the best part. It's South Carolina. It's the South of America. These guys could have just been out witnessing, trying to get him to come to prayer meeting instead of hanging out in that heathen bar. Reports said law enforcement responded to the bar about 11:15 p.m. May 31st, following an anonymous call to dispatch, who said a fight was in progress in front of the bar. It was not known what the men were fighting about. Come on, it's the southern United States. They were fighting over the snake. The four, the report said, surrounded the 40-year-old in the parking lot and threatened him with the snake. There are journalism issues in this story here because I'm still trying to figure out how you get the lynching charge. Were they going to make a noose out of the snake?
No, he ran off to talk to their old lady.
You want the best part, though? One of the men charged with lynching in connection with the incident, Timothy Farmer, was bitten by the snake and had to be hospitalized for treatment. What do you say about a story like that? That it's just another day in the Deep South? Just some good old-fashioned redneck fun with a venomous cottonmouth water moccasin? No, I think it's... I don't mean to get too prophetic and apocalyptic and stuff, but I swear I think it's a sign of the times. But more than that... as I said, we have other signs of the times coming up. Most particularly, this conversation that we have coming with Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. This story out of Fort Leavenworth with the Bible study guides, which, by the way, have miraculously disappeared from the internet now, but that's okay. Our friends over at Truth Out saved the Galatians study guide and the Nehemiah study guide. If you go to truthout.org, you can read along while Mikey Weinstein talks about them. This snakes and signs and wars and rumors of wars and famine and earth quaking in the earth and all of that garbage. This is the kind of stuff that they thrive on. And as Mikey will tell you, the dominionist religion industry is hell-bent on turning our military into as big a gang of religious fanatics as any crop of Iranians or Taliban militia that's out there, just with bigger guns. So that's what's coming. Stick around. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones ended the day up nearly 200 points in trading. We'll have the final closing numbers coming up in our business block. The panel that President Bush called on to investigate the Virginia Tech massacre issued its recommendations today. The federal report says that complicated privacy laws contributed to the confusion that prevented officials from stopping that type of violence. In response to the Virginia Tech shootings, the House today passed a bill which would help stop gun purchases by criminals and mentally ill people. It is backed by the NRA. It could be the first major federal gun control law in more than a decade. The House and Senate Judiciary Committees today issued subpoenas for two former Bush aides involved in the 8 fired prosecutors controversy last year. The White House has selected Ed Gillespie, a Washington lobbyist, to replace outgoing senior presidential counselor Dan Bartlett. In western Beirut today, a massive blast killed 10 people, including an outspoken anti-Syrian Lebanese lawmaker who is believed to have been the intended target of the explosion. The factional violence in Gaza is now reported to be near a civil war. Nearly 60 people have died in the past 4 days in clashes between Hamas and Fatah. Hamas forces have consolidated control over much of the area except for the presidential compound of Mahmoud Abbas, which they attacked today with mortars and rockets as part of their offensive. A United Nations relief agency has suspended most of its operations in Gaza following the deaths of two of its Palestinian employees who were shot today. 60 miles north of Baghdad in Samarra, the revered Shiite shrine known as the Golden Mosque was bombed again. Last year, a February attack set off a wave of sectarian violence in Iraq. No one was injured in today's early morning blast, which destroyed two minarets. Al-Qaeda is being blamed for the attack. CNN reports that in response to the Shiite mosque bombing, several Sunni mosques were attacked, according to Iraq's Interior Ministry. Hours after the blast, the Iraqi government put an indefinite curfew in place across Baghdad. In Jakarta, Indonesian police say they have arrested one of the top terrorists in Southeast Asia's major Islamic militant groups. And in Israel, veteran political figure Shimon Peres has been elected president. He's 83 years old and has been involved in Israeli politics for 6 decades. This is QNN.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
The USGS reports a 6.8 magnitude earthquake struck off Guatemala's Pacific coast today. At this point, there are no reports of injuries or major damage. However, telephone service has been limited. The chief medical officer at a Los Angeles inner-city hospital where a woman bled to death in the emergency room floor has been replaced. The woman's husband and bystanders made 911 calls for help as she waited for 45 minutes in the lobby area. The hospital has been given 23 days to fix the problem or else lose federal funding. Medical experts say there should be stronger warning labels on popular sports and muscle creams such as Bengay, Icy Hot, and Tiger Balm. A high school track star in New York recently died from an accidental overdose of one of the ingredients found in the products. The Federal Reserve says the prospects for overall economic growth are brighter. Consumer spending and retail sales were up across the country. Luxury goods are selling better than lower-priced merchandise. In fact, retail sales went up in May by the biggest amount in 16 months. The 1.4% increase was twice the amount that analysts had expected. Light sweet crude is trading at $66.26 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 187 points. The NASDAQ was up 33 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Well, it's not really the second hour, given the technical problems that we had in the first one, but we'll treat it like it is anyway, because it makes it more comfortable that way. 5.5 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. It's Wednesday night. It is prayer meeting edition here at Head On, as you well know. And in conjunction with that, as you may also well know, our great friends over at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation broke a story via Jason Leopold at Truthout earlier this week regarding some profoundly anti-Semitic so-called Bible study guides being used by the chaplaincy at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. On the phone with us now, the president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, Mikey Weinstein. Hey, Mikey, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be back, Bob. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I tell you what, I'm glad you could join us on such short notice. I told folks earlier that I didn't cover this story on air when it came out because I wanted it to come from the person who knew it best, and that's you.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
This is hair-raising. Of course, it's all hair-raising. Now, I've gotten to the point, Mikey, where I don't know where the heck I live anymore. I don't know if I need to get a burka and put it in the closet for when we have to take Agnes out in public.
I think Gore Vidal had it right when he said we should probably change the name of the country from the United States of America to the United States of Amnesia, because we don't know anything about history, we don't think about anything, and what we uncovered was not only wretchedly, violative of the U.S. Constitution. It's just downright wrong and un-American. And this was on an official U.S. Army website. We have this fringe group, that's referred to as Dominionist, Fundamentalist, Evangelical Christians, putting up their biblical worldview on a U.S. Army, website for everybody to see. What you're supposed to have is, when the Muslims, when the Catholics, the Protestants, the Jews are going to have their services and this and that. They decided to put up their entire biblical worldview, which basically states the U.S. Army loves you, loves Jesus, and them Jews, they're really bad. All the worst caricatures, all of the stereotypes, the Jews rejecting Jesus, being the persecutors of Christians. And then the one that stunned me the most was a discussion aspect about, quote, the Jewish problem. The last time we heard those three in that particular juxtaposition, Bob, as you well know, there was this certain fairly militaristic country in Europe in the 1930s and early to mid-40s that also had a Jewish problem, so they came up with a solution, the final solution.
Oh, frankly, it beggars belief, Mikey. If I hadn't seen this stuff for myself, I would have thought, okay, somebody's a little over the top. Maybe somebody's a little too sensitive about all this. But I read it!
I know. I mean, I was amazed because I saw a term that he, I mean, I've been called every. I mean, I'm a Jewish American. I'm not the most religious guy in the world, and this is not a Christian Jewish issue that we at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. By the way, for your listeners, if you want to see us on the web, we're at militaryreligiousfreedom.org. We're a nonprofit charity. You know, this is not a Christian Jewish issue. It's a small subset of evangelical Christians because we have many evangelical Christians that are huge supporters and members of our foundation. This group has a long technical name. I think they're pre or post millennial dispensational reconstructionist dominionist evangelical fundamentalist Christians, or basically just dominionist Christians. There's about 12.6% of the American public, still a fair chunk of change, 38 million of them, and you know, they have this weaponized gospel of Jesus Christ, particularly in the military, whether either, you know, you're with us or against us. This is not a political, it's not a Christian Jewish issue. It's a dominionist Christian, Bob, as you well know, versus the Constitution issue. It's not even a political spectrum left or right issue. It's a constitutional right and wrong issue.
And it's a please don't screw up our military issue too, isn't it, Mikey?
Well, what these people have done, you know, with the total support of the current idiot in the West Wing, is turn our Pentagon, sadly I'm here to report to you guys today, you know, on Head On Radio here, into the Pentecostal-gon. They've turned our Department of Defense into a faith-based initiative. And the numbers, this is hardly just at Fort Leavenworth. We've had over 4,200 members of the U.S. military, the Marine Corps, Navy, Army, and Air Force, come to our foundation begging for help as tormentees. And get this, Bob, 96% of them are Christian. Three-fourths of that group are traditional Protestants, like Lutherans, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Methodists.
Heretics, in other words, as far as
God,
the...
Even Baptists. One-fourth are Roman Catholic. The other 4 to 5%, you know, will be Jewish, Islamic, Buddhist, Hindu, you know, Jain, Wiccan, atheist, agnostic. But this is basically dominionist, evangelical, fundamentalist Christians in the military using the military chain of command authority to persecute military subordinates underneath them. And they're basically saying, look, you guys may think that you're Christians. However, you're not quite Christian enough for us. And as a result, you need to know that unless you're willing to change, you will burn eternally in the fires of hell along with the Jews.
Speaking of which, part of this study guide in Galatians or Flip-Floppians or whatever says that the Judaizers...
Yeah, that's the term I got to tell you. I've been called everything, particularly since I've been in this fight for 42 months. But, I mean, I know what a Budweiser is. I never heard of a Judaizer. And, you know, I've had a million people send me emails that are filled with complex Christian eschatological analysis. I'm saying, guys, look, here's the deal. If you want to stop this stuff, you know, the way you could have done it was just by saying, look, in Fort Leavenworth Post Chapel, I don't know, number 3, room 14 at 2100 hours, we're going to have a Bible study. If this is what you want to believe, you're allowed to believe that. But you cannot engage the machinery of the state, in this case, the U.S. Army, part of the most technologically lethal organization, Bob, ever created by Homo sapiens, you know, which is our noble and honorable U.S. military. Hell, I've got 3 kids, all of them Military Academy graduates, that are all lieutenants wearing the uniform right now.
What? Your family's got, what, 120 years of combined military experience going back to the First World War?
Right. Yeah, exactly. From in our immediate family, we have over 120 combined active duty military years, and every major engagement now from that our country's been in, from World War One to the current so-called global war on terror. I'm proud to say that my nephew just got back from Iraq. He's a Marine E5 with just a chest full of medals. I'm so proud of him. And I can tell you that he happens to be a Christian. You know, half my family's Christian, and in that half we have evangelical Christians whose last name is Christian. What we're seeing here is a felony against democracy. The Army quickly pulled that tarantula off their wedding cake. They took that website right down. That's not going to stop us. We're going to go into federal court because sending letters and making phone calls, that's just a weed whacker. It knocks the weeds back for 4 or 5, maybe 6 days.
Well, you can't unring a bell, Mikey.
Say what?
You can't unring a bell.
No, exactly. And, you know, we've had so many people from Fort Leavenworth reach out to us, all of them either Protestant or Catholic, saying, thank you, we didn't know what to do. And we've found out where the Yankee Stadium filled with tarantulas are on that giant military training installation. It's not just a big federal prison there. It's a huge Army, all of the Army's advanced training schools for officers and enlisted are all right there. This is an unbelievable embarrassment. It is an absolute blood libel. And the fact that we'd be seeing Judaizers, and the fact that once again this dominionist Christian, they view themselves kind of as Judaism 2.0, Bob. And you've read it with your own eyes. You know, the Jewish way, the bad way.
Oh, I've seen. Look, Mikey, I've seen the bumper stickers out there. You know, my boss was a Jewish carpenter.
Yeah,
I've seen that stuff. What disturbs me most out of this is the last time that you and I talked, we were talking about this problem infecting the Air Force.
Right.
Now, it's a couple of weeks later, maybe a month later, and like some sort of virulent strain of disease, we're finding out that it's all the way into the bowels of the chaplaincy in the Army.
Well, let me tell you, here's the numbers for the listeners today, on the Head On Radio show with you. The numbers, if they can just remember from this one broadcast, are 737, Bob, and 132. Let me say that one more time. That would be 737 and 132. Right now, there are 737 Pentagon-acknowledged U.S. military installations. It's really closer to 1,000 that are scattered around the globe as we garrison the planet in 132 countries. And on every one of them now, this same disease, this unconstitutional disease of this imperious, you know, fascistic contagion of constitutional triumphalism exists. We have an officers' Christian fellowship for the officers on every installation, and for the enlisted folks, a Christian military fellowship. They are unabashed about what their three-level goal is, which is a goal that everyone up and down the military chain of command views as much more critically important to achieve each day than the oath they all swore out to support and defend, protect and preserve the Constitution. Goal number one, I can't make this stuff up, you know, put on your Bob Kincaid seatbelt. They want to see a spiritually transformed U.S. military, right on their website. Goal number two, with ambassadors for Christ in uniform. Goal number three, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So the bottom line, as I said before here, is that in the U.S. military, even if you're being gently evangelized by a military superior that completely controls your life, get out of my damn face, sir or ma'am, is simply not an option for you.
And that's what creates the need for what you are doing, Mikey, because yes, you are a refuge in this theological crap storm that that these evangelicals. Let me back up. I don't want to call them evangelicals. I darn sure don't want to call them Christians. Okay?
Well, I'll say something. All fundamentalists are evangelicals, but not all evangelicals are fundamentalists. Still, the majority of Christians in this country are good people that respect other beliefs, do not think that to be a good to be an American, you have to be their type of Christian. Look, we have 29.5 million Americans in this country in the latest polls that officially state they have no religious faith. 21% of our fighting force, our U.S. military, claims that they are atheists. The last time I checked, we didn't have to have a religion test in this country. Oh, that's right. Clause 3, Article 6 of the body of the Constitution, enacted a few years ago, that would be December of 1789, states we shall never have a religion test for any position in the federal government. And yet, where was America, the Homer Simpsons that fill up America, where were they? Where was everybody on Tuesday, July 12, 2005, Bob? We've talked about this before. When on the front page of the newspaper most reviled and hated by the Pentagon, the New York Times, the number two ranking general in the entire U.S. Air Force's thousands of them in the chaplain's corps, Brigadier General Cecil R. Richardson, announced a new U.S. Air Force policy. The new U.S. Air Force policy would be to, quote, reserve its right to evangelize anyone it, the U.S. Air Force, determined to be, quote, unchurched. Well, that's pretty much obviously a religion test. It's astonishing, particularly when we think, you know, we defeated Hitler, Tojo, and Mussolini in 44 months in World War II, and guess what? We didn't have to become Hitler, Tojo, and Mussolini. Do we have to become the Christian Taliban to defeat this Taliban and Al-Qaeda?
I think that rather predicts our defeat rather than our victory, Mikey.
Exactly.
But that's just me.
This is, you know, we have to understand that we have a social contract in this country, and we should be proud of it. It's the first time in the history of Homo sapiens, humankind, that a governing nation ever created a nation state ever created a governing document that did not invoke the name of a particular deity. We have neutral. You can have, when Alexander de Tocqueville came to America 50 years after we created the country, you know, and wrote his famous journals, the French journalist, he said he was stunned at the mass variety of denominations in this country and the high level of participation in this denominational worship, and even no worship at all, saying what allowed this to happen was the fact that we had a separation of metaphysical and physical, or church and state, in this country. And we didn't have a group of these, you know, these dominionists, these dark, Darth Vader-like, stormtrooper, you know, militarized Christians with, it's either my way or not the highway, it's my way or, you know, it's going to be the graveyard.
Well, and I know that there are stories that have, well, let me just ask you straight away, and there's so many things I want to bring up. I want to make sure that I keep some semblance of order to my thoughts. You know, we talk about these Bible study plans going up on the web, and like I said, I try to prepare for these conversations, so I read the doggone things. There was a little bit of screaming and rolling on the floor and speaking in tongues following. I couldn't believe what my eyes were beholding.
I know, it is amazing.
Let's say, because you know, the chaplaincy of the military has Muslim imams. It has rabbis of both Orthodox and Reformed schools of thought. It has Catholics. It has Protestants. It has, for all I know, there are Jainist chaplains, Hindu, Buddhist. I would imagine that at least in the past, the military has tried to reach out to provide religious underpinnings for all of its corps of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. What in the world do you think if you're a Jewish chaplain or a Muslim imam chaplain and you read this garbage on is there some sort of a wall around? Obviously not. There's no wall around these evangelicals. So do they just walk around sneering at other faiths?
Well, here's the thing. First, I love your passion. I do a million radio shows. I love when I do this show because you're so into it and you're so prepared. Let me just say this. Look, here's the problem. They look at those 16 golden words in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, which was passed in March of 1791, which states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And they, at the moment you sit there, they don't like the Constitution because, you know, man is born with original sin and it's very bad, and man's law, therefore, is greatly to be subordinated to their weaponized version of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we've said. But they'll sit there and argue, the bottom line here is that we have complete free exercise. That's what it says right here. We have free exercise. My response is, hey, idiots, the Constitution is not a menu. You read it all together, it's a law. We have this dynamic tension. We can't establish, we can't have free, and we have free exercise, but the government cannot establish a religion. The free exercise part is that if you want to talk about all this heinous anti-Semitic stuff, if you want to, I guess you can go into a Bible study and go do it, but you can't put it on the U.S. Army website so that people seeing it throughout the world, including the people in, I mean, this is a big story in the Jerusalem Post today, or for that matter, Al Jazeera. They look at this, what they see is U.S. Army, good. Our version of Jesus, good. Dem Jews, oh, they're bad, but we've always known it. And as you saw on the website, they go back 2,500 years talking about the Jewish problem. And then they ask today, one of the study guides is, so talking about Jerusalem today, which still engages in slavery, you know, it's a slavery state, it poses the question about the Jewish problem through the millennia, which is just something that embarrasses me as an American citizen, but emboldens me to go in and lay down a withering field of fire, kick ass, take names, take no prisoners, and leave fucking chest wounds in federal court.
Well, let's look at some of this stuff that's inside the particularly the Galatians teaching. I don't understand the Nehemiah teaching because I don't understand why so-called Christians would be fascinated with the Old Testament, because Christian theology says that grace more or less, you know, does away with a lot of that stuff. But that's for another
right,
day.
That is right.
But looking at the Galatian teaching, I love the way you talk about the militarization of Jesus Christ. It's the militarization of St. Paul, too, because a chaplain asking a bunch of enlisted men, how does Paul pull rank on the false teachers? Answer, his appointment is directly from God. Pull rank, Mikey?
I know, buddy. I know. Look, and then the fact that they talk about how Paul was such a terrible persecutor of Jews until, of course, you know, he was Saul of Tarsus. Then he became. You know, look, we can get into all the granularity of this. My response is that I don't even have to stop, I don't have to pass go and collect my $200. Guys had me the moment I saw it on the website. Had this been, for that matter, what if it had been a Wahhabist Islamic website talking about how?
You'd be on Bill O'Reilly's show.
Oh my! Of course it would be. It'd be unbelievable. Or for that matter, if it was an extreme West Bank Israeli, a Jewish version of all of this stuff. But here, it's okay because, hey, it's just Jesus. It's our version of Jesus. And look, one of our central tenets is that if you don't believe the way that we believe, either we will or our version of Jesus will send you into hell to burn forever.
This drives me nuts, Mikey. It's not just the militarization, it is the capitalization of Christ Jesus, because in paragraph 4 of the Galatian study, you get, notice the order of dividends of owning stock as a child of God. Yes. Now Christianity is in the equities market.
Yes, we're going to do an IPO. I noticed that also. And as I said before, look, this is hardly the first time we've faced this. Like, if you go to go to the website, you know, www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. Again, we're a nonprofit, tax-deductible charity. You will see other instances of this. This one is particularly heinous because I just almost fell out of my chair from Judaizers to this stock ownership to a mathematical calculation. Did you see that one that if one Christian could bring one other Christian?
Oh, Lordy, yeah. The question is, if one Christian brought another person to Christ, if every Christian on earth brought another person to Christ, how long would it take to create a Christian world? Answer, 33 years. Curiously, the same age,
yes.
the same number as Christ at the time of his crucifixion.
Yes, I'm sure they have somebody with a master's or a PhD in applied math or operations research. The problem here is that, as I said before, we're telling the U.S. military, you're going to be at least as constrained as a shift manager at Starbucks or KFC or Costco or McDonald's. If you want to see a Fortune 1000 CEO brought to her or his knees, you have the most junior person in the mailroom raise their hand and say, stop, I'm being evangelized in any way, shape, or form during the workday. It's a killer lawsuit in the real private sector under Title VII of the U.S. Code. This would last 3 seconds. But in the U.S. military, which, by the way, is so assiduously concerned about this draconian specter of command influence, that in the Pentagon, we actually have regulations that prohibit people up and down the chain of command, like I said, from actually pushing on their subordinates, Tupperware, Mary Kay Cosmetics, and Amway. But this, I guess, is okay to do.
It's mind-boggling. We've mentioned a couple of times that word Judaizers. It makes it sound as though Judaism was a competing evangelical philosophy along with Saul of Tarsus. It wasn't. It was a pre-existing religious faith. It was also a philosophy. It was a way of getting through the day and through life.
Yes.
They reduce the vast and beautiful tradition of the Hebrew faith in this Galatians study by suggesting that it's just another Johnny Come Lately competition. And you get down here, and here's a question: what are the key statements of Paul? Anyone who preaches a gospel different than the gospel of Christ should be condemned.
I know, man.
Mikey, we're fighting people who believe this way.
Yes, I know. I know.
What was the story a year and a half ago? The guy in Afghanistan who wanted to convert from Islam to Christianity, and they wanted to kill him for it.
Yep.
There was a woman in Malaysia in the last couple of months who wanted to change, because apparently your religion has to be on your driver's license in Malaysia, and I have a feeling that the right-wing religion industry in this country would like the same thing. She wanted to change her driver's license registration from Islam to Christianity and was told that she had to petition the Sharia court in order to do it. Is there any difference between these people who would these dominionists who would impose God's law in America, is there any difference between them and the people who believe that Sharia court determines all religious issues?
No, they're very binary. The Sharia law from Wahhabist Islam, just like dominionist evangelical fundamentalist Christianity, is binary, one or zero. And the dominionist Christians will quote Matthew 12:30, where Jesus says, those who are not with me are against me. It's like Ann Coulter. Either you're with us or you're not. Either you have the right to be an American by having the correct religious faith, which is ours, or you don't. And it's the whole concept of, I love the way you described, look, there's, you know, the fact that Judaism is a way to get through the day. We have 10,000, give or take, plus or minus, ways to get through the day. 10,000 organized religions in this world. All of them have some invisible guy that wrote a book. Most of them are in opposition with each other. It's just we live in the Western part of the world where the predominant religion is Christianity. It's not that way in other parts of the Earth universe, as it were. And our forefathers, we don't have to plan for this. They figured this out. They looked at the fact that in Europe, most of the people that created the tyrannies were people that were men of the cloth, were men of political power. They looked at Cromwell in England. Hell, they looked at the Salem witch trials, and they said, not here, not on our watch. We're not going to have a country like this. We're going to separate church and state, church as much as you want, flourish as much as you want, but we're not going to let the church into the government. We're not going to let the government into the church. If the church, if you will, is vanilla ice cream and the government is horse manure, you mix the two together, it doesn't mess up the horse manure, but it really screws up the vanilla ice cream.
God, I love the way you think, Mikey. This stuff doesn't exist in a vacuum, though. This stuff has impacts outside. It all ties together. I guess I see the world as a spider web instead of a straight line. Because I'm thinking back to this executive order that George Bush signed a month or so ago that says that in the case of a catastrophe, and in that case, he, by the way, he gets to define what constitutes a catastrophe.
But just like if he gets to decide who's an enemy combatant, and he gets a habeas corpus, and who doesn't.
So, but in the case of a catastrophe, as defined by George Bush, he gets to become maximum mother of all dictators. Okay, and then the military remains under his control, and the reason I say this all fits together, we are much closer, I think, Mikey, than anybody realizes to a dictatorship, to martial law, at least according to this executive order we are. And so if you've got this militarized Jesus running through the military, how far, realistically, under a catastrophic circumstance, how far are we from a denial of posse comitatus and this evangelized army running through the streets like some sort of set piece from the Left Behind series?
Well, I wish I could report to you something better than I can. I am not Al Gore today talking about an inconvenient truth in global warming where we're at a, quote, tipping point. In the most technologically lethal organization ever created by mankind, which is, again, as we said earlier in the show, our honorable and noble Marine Corps, Navy, Army, and Air Force, the constitutionally mandated wall separating church and state is nothing but smoke and debris. We have tipped. I don't know. I hope we can bring it back, but I can tell you that cards and letters and phone calls are as useful as a baseball bat in a football game. We got to go into court. I've given up on both political parties. I mean, under Republicans, it seems man exploits man, but under Democrats, it's just the opposite. You know, we can't get any politician to touch this for fear of losing votes and funding for their presidential runs. Or the ones that are up on the Hill, they don't touch it. So our response is, fine, we'll go it alone. We'll go into federal court and do our very best to destroy all of these tarantulas on all of these wedding cakes.
And, of course, that probably comes at no small threat to your own existence.
I'll tell you something. You know, I don't mind. I've talked about it. We've had armed guards at the house. We have attacked German shepherds that are here at the house. We've got, you know, as much of a security system as we can. We've had beer bottles and feces thrown at the house, tires splashed, dead animals in the front door. We my wife and I...
Love those Christians!
Well, we get we get three or four fairly grotesque death threats a week, and... we're not going to stop. I mean, they
call you on the phone and chant at you. Is that correct?
There's a group of, I suppose, they're Dominionist evangelical fundamentalist women. They call once every six, 7 or 8 days, and they just they chant, Mikey Weinstein, bullet in the head. Praise the Lord, he's finally dead. But wherever I go around the country, you know, we've gotten hundreds of these calls. They've called my wife and threatened to blow her head off and cover her in her own blood. They had her license plate number. They even knew, Bob, that she had a little crack in the windshield of her car. So. The other day I had a... I had was a little girl on the phone threatening my life, and I could hear the man and woman in the background prompting her as to what to say. I mean, that was just sick beyond belief.
These people are sick beyond belief, and I'm not surprised that they would use a child to deliver their message of hate. I'm kind of a radical liberal, Mikey. I hope you're armed.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not going to comment on the air, but I'm prepared to take care of myself, and I'm not worried about it. We live in a great country, and we're going to keep this fight up. And it's just unbelievable that most of Americans they think a great deal of energetic put out is that they admire would be somebody willing to spend three chilly nights on an air mattress, Bob, in front of a Circuit City to make sure they get their PlayStation 3. You know, we're asleep at the switch. We need to wake up and actually do something now. Do not leave the Bob Kincaid Show tonight. Go have dinner. Sit down, watch a little TV, a little news, go to bed, because, ladies and gentlemen, we're losing our country because we're losing our U.S. military to this virulent biblical worldview. Mark me, on Wednesday, June 13th, 2007, in the evening, this is what's happening. You have to do something now. Get off your butt.
And do what?
Help us contribute to, you know, you can write letters, you can call, that's great, but contribute. It's a tax-deductible donation. Contact us. Make the contribution on the line to www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. The weapon has been formed. You're not going to get threatened. We will. But rather than giving your money to the local Boy Scouts or Brownies or Girl Scouts, maybe give some of it to the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Again, www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org.
Mikey, I appreciate you spending time talking to us about this. I know you broke this over at Truth Out. Please understand that with our model here of conversation radio, anytime you've got one that's got to get out, got to get there now, I hope you know that this is a place that you can come to, and we will always make time for you. There is nothing more important happening in this country than what you are doing.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it, brother. We'll be back.
All right. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And I do mean take care. Mikey Weinstein, bullet in the head. Praise the Lord, he's finally dead. Sick bastards. And to use a child for that kind of thing. Oh, where's the Department of Children and Family Services when you need them? You see, this is all the religion of fear. This is all the religion of fear. This is not a liberation theology. This isn't the message of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter who preached peace. No, no, no. No, this is some sort of weird fundamentalist, governmental sanctioned... Well, it's the Caesar cult, isn't it? When we come back, I shared a little bit of the stuff from these study guides. It's prayer meeting. We can freeform this and we can longform this. I'm going to share some more of it with you. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox Talk with John Fox. We'll take a look at the tragic death of the Rolling Stones founder, Brian Jones. Was it an accident, a suicide, or was there just something more to it?
He started pleading, "Oh, come on, you know, come on, let me go, will you?"
It's not a case that was investigated as a possible homicide.
We did not mean to kill him.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I can't see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
Nah, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
A Cup of Joe radio show with your host, Joe Vecchio, the working man's thinking man. Moving to 11 a.m. to noon, June 18th, right here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Agnes is feeling frisky. I like it when Agnes gets frisky. Family radio. Now stop it, Bob. Okay, a couple of things from the Galatians study guide before we go to the phones. I got to share this with you because I'm a bear of very small mind, okay? But I think I figured something out. This whole, if you looked at the whole thing, but, you know, if you go to truthout.org, and I imagine it's probably up at the website at militaryreligiousfreedom.org as well, you can read these Bible study guides. I suggest that you do it with a highball glass with a lot of ice and a little bit of 100-proof liquor while you're at it. Because doing this straight, it will just mess with your head way too much. Okay, you know where I am. I kid. But I know why they're doing this. I know why they're doing this, because this whole thing is full of Judaizers and attacking Judaism. You know, when Paul was talking to the Galatians, or writing to the Galatians, if Paul wrote to the Galatians, if it's real, if it really happened, because there's none of it guaranteed, he was evangelizing what they called the way. They didn't call it Christianity. They called it the way. And isn't that also what the Chinese word Tao translates as? T-A-O, Tao? Okay, maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, they were calling it the way. And they lived in a communist lifestyle. No kidding. They held everything in common. Money, food, shelter, clothing. So you've got a little bit of the background. He was as much concerned with the Roman Godhead or the Greek pantheon or Ahura Mazda or Zoroaster or Isis or any of the cults that were prevalent at the time, because his way was just a little junior cult. That's why they had to create the idea of the resurrected Jesus, because all the other religions had a resurrected deity. You really couldn't be a self-respecting religion at the time and not have a resurrected deity or a deity who was born of a virgin. It was just sort of the sine qua non of up-and-coming cults. So they had to create that part, too. Although you'll note if you read Paul's letters or pseudo-letters or whatever, he never mentions the virgin birth. You'd think that for something that important, he would have gotten the memo. But anyway, you go into this thing, and it's all about the big bad Jews and the evil Jews and the Judaizers. And anyone who converts from Christianity to Judaism deserves torture and torment and death. To turn from Christianity to Judaism, a rejection of Christ. It's turning from faith to law, from grace to works. Paul says this is no gospel at all, and the one who leads others into it should be condemned to spiritual death and hell. The message of the Judaizers was opposite or diametrically opposed to the gospel preached by Paul. Paul says that anyone who preaches such a message should be accursed because they would lead others to spiritual death. Okay? It goes on and on and on. And it's all about anti-Jewish stuff, anti-Jewish stuff, anti-Jewish stuff. And I'll tell you why. Consider the context. Consider who this garbage is being preached to. Now, you'll note that Mikey Weinstein said that Fort Leavenworth is a huge complex. That Fort Leavenworth is, in fact, far more than just a military concentration camp for bad soldiers. That it is, in fact, also the training ground for the officer corps, for some of the elites. Well, what do you need to arm a bunch of officers and elites with in order to, when you're getting ready to send them into the Arab world? Well, if you're going to try to pacify an Arab population, the thinking goes, what you need to do is make them more sympathetic to the population that they are occupying. In other words, feed them the same anti-Semitic filth. Feed your soldiers the same anti-Semitic filth that is being fed to children as little as 5 and 6 years old in the Wahhabi-sponsored schools of Saudi Arabia, which is being imported routinely and regularly into Iraq. Blame the Jews first. Like I said, I'm a bearer of a very small mind, but even I figured this one out. This is about creating what would you call it, acculturation for our troops. And now we don't have time to teach them Arabic or anything important, but we can teach them to be as virulently anti-Semitic as the people they're going to occupy, and maybe they'll like the occupation a little bit better. This is some sick and twisted stuff. A lot of this stuff looks like it could go hand in hand with a study guide on the commentaries in the Quran about Jesus, which, apart from the whole resurrected, killed on a cross, born of a virgin stuff, son of God business, a lot of Muslims can completely get up close and personal with the message of Christ because they revere him as a prophet and say peace be upon him every time they say his name, just like they say peace be upon him every time they say Muhammad's name. Okay? So that's where this is coming from, I think. And, of course, it helps to put in a little bit of authoritarianism. The law depends on person's obedience. The new covenant depends on God's grace to forgive my sin and respond to my act of faith. Act of faith, auto de fe. En español. Anybody want to look up the definition of auto de fe? Go and read these things for yourself. As a Jew, Paul had zealously persecuted Christians and tried to destroy the church. Paul was selected by God even from his mother's womb and called into the missionary ministry through God's grace. When called, Paul did not go to Jerusalem to consult with the disciples. He went to the wilderness of Arabia. Huh? Funny, I thought he was on his way to Damascus. This is just disturbing, disturbing stuff. And they give a bunch of non-historical hokum and hooey about who the Pharisees were. You gotta go read it for yourself. Let's go to the phones. Susan is calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
And just to top everything off, you play into people's greed.
How so?
Point of fact. This just came across the news. It's called, it's from the New York Times, and it says, federal grant for a medical mission goes awry. It seems a faith-based organization was given, not sold, given, two decommissioned Coast Guard cutters. They were they had a condition. They were only to use them for medical, to provide medical services to islands in the South Pacific. And
loaded them up with Bibles instead of Band-Aids, did they?
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Worse?
When the time started checking, the Coast Guard said they're in Micronesia. No, they weren't. Ships never got any closer to the South Pacific Islands and San Francisco Bay. The mission group quickly sold one to a maritime equipment company, which sold it for a substantially more to a pig farmer who uses it as a commercial ferry off of Nicaragua. The other ship was sold to a Bay Area couple who rent it out for eco tours and marine research in San Francisco Bay.
Frankly, I'm glad. I'd rather that than ferrying Bibles to the heathens of the South Pacific, Susan.
Ah, yes, but you see, the point is, they were given these ships to do good works under our faith-based initiative, which nobody ever checks on, and they turned around, sold them, and kept the money, of course, and didn't bother to report it, and also didn't bother to report to the Coast Guard that these military ships had been sent off to La La Land.
Who made the bucks?
The faith-based group. They collected a...
You got a name there? I mean,
Let's see. It is... Here it is.
Well, I guess it's not that important, but...
No, it's just a matter of me finding the name here. I know it was...
I just wondered if it would be something that we could...
Here it is. Canvasback Missions in Benicia, California.
Canvasback Missions.
Uh-huh.
Huh. Let's see. Phony Driven Life, wasn't he pastor of... Saddleback?
Could be.
These people aren't terribly creative. Is it Venice or Venetia?
B-E-N, B as in boy, E-N-I-C-I-A.
Well, we'll search for it and see what happens.
Yeah, they took possession.
Well, there they are, canvasback.org. Yeah. And there are the poor little children. Are you ready for mission service?
Ah, yes.
Charming.
Anyway, the
Jamie and Jackie Spence,
mm-hmm.
Shipmasters, still direct the Christian medical mission they formed in 1981. Yes. Nonprofit 501c3 organization founded in 1981 to serve remote Pacific Islands with needed health care and health education.
Don't you just love it?
I tell you what, I'm in the wrong business, Susan. I could be a multimillionaire.
Yeah, if we were a little bit less moral, we could be a whole lot richer, both of us.
This is just astonishing.
Anyway,
amazing.
You play to people's greed on top of everything else, and it's Katie Bar the Door. If people want to read the article, it's up on the website, and then you can link from there.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. You have a nice night.
Just a little screaming here and there. I got to get some blood pressure medicine.
You mean you don't have any?
No. I just kind of enjoy the little tingle at the top of my head, Susan.
Yes. Well, there's always whiskey, or if nothing else, moonshine.
Yeehaw, I like it when it comes in a quart jar with a peach floating in the bottom.
Yes, definitely.
We'll talk to you soon, Susan.
Okay, bye-bye. You have a nice night.
I hope you know I'm kidding. I kid a lot about drinking and carrying on. But, I don't know what other analogy puts it better, though. you read this kind of stuff and you want resort to something that will just sort of give a little pushback to reality. Because you ever walk through the woods and you walk through a spider web you didn't know was there, and you spend the next 3 days trying to find the spider web that's on you, and just kind of, and you get that crawly feeling all over you? This is that. Bob's on the phone from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
My friends across this globe. Yes, my friends across this globe. There are many of us. We are legion, huh? Are we not?
Well, it makes me wonder sometimes.
We're talking, hey, this is every other Wednesday night, is it not, Bob?
Yes, it is.
And this is the Wednesday night that maybe someone that's not connected with the Head On Network will connect and wake up and think about what they've done. But not the Bush administration. Of course not them. They hope they have Jesus on their side. And that's what scares me the most. Someone that thinks they have Jesus on their side. Or Mohammed or Allah or somebody else. That's the foolishness of man, is it not? To think they got their wife on their side, they just look over their legs and ask her, are you on my side? Or are you standing behind me with a big old, what do you call it, the cast iron skillet? Hey, question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you stand with me or against me? And that's, son, that is so stupid to think that the person beside you is against you and everybody else doesn't understand you and everybody wants to be understood. All you have to understand is that we are in this together. You and I, Bob, we're in this doggone thing together. And we're in it for those that cannot defend themselves. Those that cannot protect themselves. We're in this fight to protect them. Not to kill them, but to give them their own space. And it's time we get out of this place. Get out of Iraq. Get out of Iran. Get out of the Middle East. Get the heck out of there.
Well, Agnes and I had a discussion the other night about the origins of the military, Bob. And if you go back to the very early days after the revolution was over, the military, as far as a standing army in the United States, was reduced drastically, basically to just a shell that could provide guidance and startup should more hostilities come.
Yeah. That is the truth.
Lincoln didn't have enough of an army to fight the Civil War. That's why he had to violate the Constitution, much as George W. Bush did, and raise his own army.
Absolutely. But that's what is happening now. What's going on right now is unbelievable. It is unconscionable, Bob. I mean, you can't have a conscience. You cannot even have a thought in your brain and understand what George Bush is doing, because George Bush doesn't have a thought in his brain. That little wog that couldn't fight in my war is sending your sons and your daughters to die in his war. And that's the truth. It's the truth. He has sent young men and women to be maimed, murdered, and destroyed in his idea of what he wants. Bob, there's a lot of things I'd like to have on this earth, and the first thing I'd love to have is peace on earth. But I'm not Jesus H. Christ, and I'm not God Almighty, and I cannot send down my angels to sacrifice for them, the fat little wogs that sit on their butts in the United States of America and ask everybody else to sacrifice. I'm asking the Republicans, you filthy little wogs, get up off your butts and send your sons and daughters. And by the way, go yourself, George Herbert, Walker, Bush, bailout boy, over to, what was that, the Solomons, where you're
Chichijima.
Served?
Chichijima.
Yeah, Chichijima. The bailout boy. Go do as a man would do and be.
Well,
just be a man, not a filthy little.
Well, I liked what Sincera Taylor said the other evening, and that was, we cannot wait for January 2009, Bob. We have to continue to agitate for impeachment and for the removal of this hideous man from office before he does further damage to an already weakened, already...
Bush, Bob.
Huh?
But he's not George W. Bush. Or
oh, no. Clean out the lot of them. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
But this clutch of these industrialists, these... What do you call them? Huh?
Corporatists.
These people that believe that if only the corporation can rule, then everyone else will fall in line. We will not fall in line. We will fight the corporatists. Bob, we have to fight them. We must fight the corporatists. We've got to do it if we want to see a peace on earth as Jesus H. Christ said. Okay? Peace on earth and goodwill to men, women, children, and all living things. We must fight these corporatists. We don't have a choice. We got to find a way. And if it is not buying their materials, going, hey, if it comes from China, send it back. Send it back. Don't buy it. If it says it's made in China, don't buy it. Don't go to Walmart. It's all China. Okay? Don't go to those places that sell this garbage to you. Don't listen to MSNBC. Don't listen to CNN. Do not listen to them. Just stop, people. Stop listening and start thinking for yourself.
Tall order, Bob. We got to roll, brother. We're on top of the news.
Truth. That's what's on this network, true. And to Tess, Sue, and Susan, and the Suzans, and to Glenda, and everyone else, and to my dear heart, to Agnes, a good night, darling. And
thank you, Bob.
And Bob, to you, my good man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Surrender in the dark has gone down to the middle man. All right. We'll be back with more after the news. Maybe try to understand. This is America's liberal voice, The Horn. Jump on the phone if you want to. Don't wait till the end. 304-658-5453. 877-443-2366. It's easy. We'll be back. You always tried to be the one. And now the times have made you wonder if you ever knew what was going on.
This is the Quality News Network. Financial markets ended up. We'll have the closing numbers for you in our business block. The House and Senate Judiciary Committees issued subpoenas for two former Bush aides involved in the 8 fired prosecutors controversy last year, former White House counsel Harriet Myers and former White House political director Sarah M. Taylor will be compelled to testify about their roles in the firings. The White House has selected Ed Gillespie, a Washington lobbyist, to replace outgoing presidential counselor Dan Bartlett. Gillespie starts the job on June 27th. The panel that President Bush called on to investigate the Virginia Tech massacre issued its recommendations today. The federal report says complicated privacy laws contributed to the confusion that prevented officials from stopping that type of violence. In response to the Virginia Tech shootings, the House passed a bill which would improve the current instant background checks to help stop criminals and the mentally ill from buying guns. It's the first new gun control law in more than a decade and is backed by the National Rifle Association. In Gaza, Hamas forces say they now control several Fatah security compounds and the southern border with Egypt. The fighting has spread, and many say it threatens to become all-out civil war. Clashes have killed 60 in less than a week. Palestinian President and Fatah leader Mahmoud Abbas called the ongoing fighting madness. The UN announced it will immediately cut back its humanitarian aid assistance in Gaza after two of its workers were shot and killed today. And in western Beirut, a massive blast killed 10 people, including an outspoken anti-Syrian Lebanese lawmaker who was the likely target of that attack. In Israel, veteran political figure Shimon Peres has been elected president. He described his role to lawmakers as a unifier of Israel's fractured society. A U.S. general says the bombing of a sacred Shiite shrine, the Golden Mosque in Iraq, was an inside job. 15 security officers guarding the site have been arrested. Last year, a similar attack set off a wave of sectarian violence in Iraq. CNN reports there have already been retaliatory attacks on Sunni mosques. A 6.8 magnitude earthquake has struck off Guatemala's Pacific coast. No immediate reports of injuries or damage. This is QNN.
Or not to be.
Proficiency in reading and writing is a crucial connection to higher learning for both youth and adults. Without the foundation of basic English skills, access to education and employment is severely limited, if not impossible, for an estimated 40 million illiterate and semi-literate adults nationwide. If someone you know needs help in learning to read and write, there are local groups that can provide assistance without the threat of embarrassment. The Monterey County Free Library System offers unlimited one-on-one classes meant to help anyone at any proficiency level step over the language barrier. Weekly classes are held at several free library locations across Monterey County at no charge. For more information on Monterey County Free Library's Adult Literacy Program, call 424-3564. This message brought to you by the Quality News Network.
In northern China, fossil hunters have discovered the remains of a giant bird-like dinosaur never before seen. Believed to have lived 70 million years ago, the creature was comparable in size to the Tyrannosaurus. It's been dubbed Gigantoraptor. Cancer experts for the first time have compiled a list of symptoms that might alert women to ovarian cancer. They include suddenly experiencing weeks of bloating, the need to urinate frequently, appetite changes, and abdominal or pelvic pain. Ovarian cancer has been one of the hardest cancers to detect early and is one of the deadliest of tumors. The chief medical officer at an inner-city Los Angeles hospital has been replaced. A woman bled to death while awaiting emergency treatment there. The woman's husband and bystanders made 911 calls for help as she waited for 45 minutes in the lobby area. The hospital's been given 23 days to fix the problem or else lose federal funding. Retail sales last month jumped the largest amount in 16 months. The 1.4% surge was twice what economists had predicted. Auto dealerships, hardware stores, and department stores benefited most. Light sweet crude is trading at $66.74 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones ended up, as we said, 187 points to close at 13,482. The NASDAQ was up 10 and the S&P was up 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Seven and a half past. Couple of stories for you. I don't know. Somehow they fit with the idea of prayer meeting because of their horror. One you've already heard a little bit about, but we're not going there straight away. This story found it over at clickondetroit.com. It's from WDIV Detroit, although it is a Los Angeles story. A disabled man was killed on a Los Angeles street, and it was all caught on tape, on video. Police are asking for the public's help in identifying and locating a man who fatally attacked a mentally disabled man the night of May 29th. Surveillance cameras captured the attack on tape. On Tuesday, May 29th, at around 8:45 p.m., James McKinney, who was 41 years old, Los Angeles man, was walking to a store from a board and care facility for the mentally disabled where he lived. As he neared the corner of Wilton Place and Olympic Boulevard, a male attacker approached from behind and struck the back of his head with an aluminum baseball bat. The attacker, it's all on the video, the attacker then fled on foot. McKinney, hemorrhaging, fell to the ground. An identified passerby called 911. He suffered massive head injuries, was rushed to Cedars-Sinai Hospital, where he died on June 3rd. Police describe the suspect as Hispanic, 16 to 20 years old, 5 feet 9 inches tall, and 175 pounds. He was bald and wore black shorts, a dark t-shirt, and white tennis shoes. An LAPD spokesperson, Officer April Harding, says, "We hope that someone can identify the person who committed this horrific crime and will call police with information on his whereabouts." And this is one of those failure in journalism moments. No motive has been determined. Investigators said they were working on evidence and interviewing witnesses. Anyone with information is asked to call the Detective Information Desk. Because in the real world, things don't quite work out in 60 minutes or 54 minutes or 47 minutes like an episode of Law and Order, I suppose. And please bear in mind, this is just another day in America. No, he didn't use a handgun, he used a ball bat. If he'd had a handgun, he could have killed 30 or 40 people instead of just one. But one was more than enough in the City of Angels. This is our America. The Republicans, for all they want, can talk to you about their shining city on the hill, but this is the America that they themselves have willfully created. This is an America where, for the first time since his daddy's presidency, violent crime is once again on the rise. What does that tell you about compassionate conservatism? What does that tell you about Republican concern for the culture of life? What does that tell you about the right-wing religion industry goons who are trying, even as we speak, yea, verily, I say unto thee, to hijack the very Constitution itself? What does this say? Dare I tell you? It tells you that they are a bunch of lying, hypocritical, bloodthirsty thugs, and you already know that, and I'm wasting my breath. It tells you that they do not care what happens to 41-year-old mentally challenged men walking from a personal board and care home down to get a pack of chewing gum on the corner of what? Wilton Place and Olympic Boulevard, where people just come out of the shadows with aluminum ball bats and crush your skull. It tells you that that does not matter because those people don't matter. There's lots of people that don't matter to the Republican Party in this country. Oh, no, no, no. I don't want to get into the debate about, well, the Democrats are just as bad. I get just as pissed off about things that Democrats do. The symbolic no-confidence vote on torture boy Gonzalez, Fredo, whatever you wanted, that inept little the laughing stock from Harvard that the Senate couldn't take yesterday because the Republicans wouldn't let them. Dig it, the Republicans wouldn't let them take the vote. The Republican minority in the United States Senate would not let the majority take a vote. Because it required cloture. Which is another way of saying voting not to filibuster. Dig it. Get all over it. Understand it all the way down to your shoelaces. The Republican Party in the Senate filibustered a no-confidence vote on Fredo Gonzalez. The Republican minority in the Senate filibustered a no-confidence vote on Fredo Gonzalez. Boy, do you remember the heady days of the Republican majority in the United States Senate when that Frankenstein, Herman Munster-looking jerk-off Bill Frist used to stand up and say, "If you Democrats try to filibuster, we'll go nuclear, and we'll take it away from you, and we'll make you lack it, and we'll whip you like a yellow dog." And Harry Reid said, "Jesus, please don't hurt me. I'll soil my sacred underwear if you threaten me again." And we didn't filibuster the bankruptcy bill. And we didn't filibuster that pretty thug John Roberts on the Supreme Court. Or that beady-eyed, pinched-faced, pince-nez glasses-wearing goon Samuel Alito. We didn't filibuster him either. We didn't filibuster. We didn't filibuster. We didn't filibuster. We didn't stop the thugs. And all we want to do is have a statement of no confidence on quite possibly the most inept, most criminal attorney general in the history of this republic, and the minority in the United States Senate said, "No, we won't let you." And Harry Reid said, "Jesus, don't threaten me again. I'll soil my sacred underwear." So yeah, I got plenty to gripe about the Democrats about, but this is Republican policy. It is as clear as the nose on our faces that it's Republican policy. I realize that there are lies, damned lies, and statistics, but in this case, the statistics don't lie. For the first time since George H.W. Bush's presidency, violent crime is on a violent rise in these United States. Of course, we're not surprised, are we? Like father, like son. Like father, like son. The disconnected, uncaring, the character of George H.W. Bush, who didn't know what the barcode scanner was that you and I see used every day when we go to pay exorbitant prices for groceries. It's no different than all the other thingies that George Bush doesn't know about the sun. And this man likely will not be killed, nor killed, caught. He won't be caught, this barbarian. Of course not. But that's L.A. story number one. L.A. story number two, you've heard a little bit about already on our top of the hour news. You have perhaps heard about Edith Isabel Rodriguez. She was 43 years old when she was taken to the emergency room at Martin Luther King Harbor Hospital in Los Angeles. She was in agony. She was vomiting bright red blood. She laid on the floor for 45 minutes, dying from what was later discovered to be a perforated bowel. Vomiting blood and writhing in pain, laying there, observers trying to get her help inside the emergency room of the hospital. Calling 911. His husband, her husband, Jose Prado, called 911. He said, "I'm in the emergency room. My wife is dying and the nurses don't want to help her out." "What's wrong with her?" a female dispatcher asks. "She's vomiting blood," Prado said. "Okay, and why aren't they helping her?" the dispatcher asked. "They're watching her there and they're not doing anything. They're just watching her," Prado said. The dispatcher then tells Prado to contact a doctor. He begged for paramedics to come and take her to somewhere she could get help, and the dispatcher refused to send paramedics because she was already at an emergency room. She then told him to contact county police officers at a security desk. 8 minutes later, a bystander calls 911 again. "She's definitely sick and there's a guy that's ignoring her." The dispatcher argues with the woman over whether there really was an emergency. "I cannot do anything for you for the quality of the hospital. It is not an emergency. It is not an emergency, ma'am," he says. "You're not here to see how they're treating her," the woman replies. The dispatcher refuses to call paramedics again and tells the woman she should contact hospital supervisors and let them know if she's unhappy. And the woman replies, "May God strike you too for acting the way you just acted." The dispatcher says, "No, negative, ma'am, you're the one." They finally did take her out of the hospital, though. When they finally got authorities to help Rodriguez, they arrested her on a parole violation and rolled her out of the hospital to take her away to jail. She died. She died. She died rolling in agony on the floor, ignored by that hospital staff, ignored by paramedics, and utterly ignored by the first line, the responders, the 911 dispatchers. She was ignored to death. And by the way, doctors have clearly said she would have survived if afforded competent treatment. She needed emergency surgery, a bowel resection, something like that. Yeah. She died. No, negative, ma'am, that would be you. This isn't the usual story of because in the previous story, a passerby called 911 about the poor man beaten in the back of the head. In this case, the bystanders were doing everything they could possibly do, and when they finally got what they thought was help, they put handcuffs on her and took her to jail. because we live in a culture with a punishment fetish. We live in a culture that is more curious to find out if a person has violated some pissant piece of criminal law than we do with preserving their lives. And there's, you know, this is another one of those damn stories that's got multiple layers. Yeah, they came and arrested her so she could die in handcuffs for a parole violation. But on top of it all, there's the follow-up. And that is this. The incident was the latest high-profile lapse at King Harbor, formerly known as King Drew. The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors is investigating claims of recent patient care breakdowns, including Rodriguez's case. Federal inspectors last week said emergency room patients were in immediate jeopardy of harm or death, and King Harbor was given 23 days to shape up or risk losing federal funding. Wait a minute. Things are really terrible at King Harbor Hospital, and if they don't shape up in 23 days, the L.A. County Board of Supervisors is going to make it worse? They don't need their federal funding cut. They need their federal funding quadrupled. Quintupled. Exponentially increased. That is why King Harbor Hospital is broken down. Because like the entire medical system of this once great nation, it is broken. And just a little bit more time under the Bushies, the loyal Bushies, and their filthy right-wing religion industry encrusted, filth-infested, Republican government, it will be broken beyond ever being repaired. Mikey Weinstein said a little bit ago that the problem isn't just a little ways off. We're not where Al Gore is talking about with a tipping point. We're tipped over! We're in the ditch! And what happens in Los Angeles happens in Chicago, and it happens in Florida, and it happens in Dallas, and it happens in New York, and it happens in Boston and Nashville. It happens in Memphis and Birmingham and Atlanta. It happens in Phoenix. It happens in Boise. Because it happens in America in a medical treatment system that is designed not with the needs of the patient in mind, but with the needs of the corporate executives and their shareholders in mind. This is our national shame. This is our national agony. Edith Isabel Rodriguez, 43 years old, is proof, all by herself and not accompanied by the legions of people to whom this has also happened, of the collapse of American civilization. For I was sick. For I was in prison, and ye visited me not. I was hungry, and ye fed me not. I was naked, and ye clothed me not. Get ye unto the place prepared for the devil and his angels. Right? Right? For if ye've not done it unto the least of these, ye've also not done it unto me. Right? Right? Oh, we're liberal, we're progressive, we're bothered by this. How bothered are we? How bothered are we? What would you do if you walked by Edith Isabel Rodriguez? Would you think that she's another one of those Mexicans clogging up our emergency rooms? Because you see, that kind of thinking is what leads to the death of Edith Isabel Rodriguez. I've heard it. I've heard it come from people who call themselves liberals and progressives. We have an immigration problem, Bob. These Mexicans are taking away all our health care services. Well, if Isabel Rodriguez didn't take them away, she died for one of them. God! Well, at least there's got to be some comfort for the Minutemen and the brown people haters. Because American law enforcement arrested that desperate criminal, Edith Isabel Rodriguez, as she lay vomiting blood on the floor and carried her away. By the way, according to the news, a couple of people have been replaced out of this. What do you think? A few minutes left in the program. Share your thoughts. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I just died in your arms tonight. There must have been something you said. I just died in your arms tonight.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Hey kids, there are some questions about what's this new gay conversation radio show coming in June on the Head On Radio Network. Well, the details are safely locked away in my closet, located on a dirt road in the rural South. So the next time you're traveling on an interstate highway, staring out into the red state abyss, just smile and think to yourself, honey, we're everywhere.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine.
Hi, I'm Peter Godbold, and welcome to Strictly Confidential. The show premieres June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network.
You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, moving to 10 a.m. weekdays, Monday, June 18th, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Most people I know.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
There's a lot of talk out there as how this E. coli in hamburger is dangerous to your health. Well, it's not as dangerous as the terrorists. They hate you. A toxic case of the runs ain't nothing compared to the smoke and rubble of your local Walmart. If you quit eating hamburger, the terrorists win. Hamburger doesn't hate your freedoms, but the terrorists do. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
We're back. 24 and a half minutes after the hour. No, before the hour. Yeah, 24 and a half minutes before the hour. 24 and a half minutes left in the program. A few minutes to chat if you want to jump in and involve yourself in that fashion. I'm not sure I'm entirely done with this story. Because, you see, there's a denouement to it, if you will. Dr. Bruce Chernoff, director of the County Department of Health Services, which oversees the facility, that would be King Harbor Hospital in Los Angeles, has called Rodriguez's death inexcusable, that's a quote, and said it was, quote, important to understand that this was fundamentally a failure of caring, unquote. All right? Of course, the 911 department is not offering comments. Because, you see, they have regulations. If they're already in the hospital, you know, you can't call for... Oh, God. But then there's the mention of a man by the name of Dr. Roger Peaks, the chief medical officer at the hospital. He's been placed on what is called ordered absence as of this past Monday. Dr. Robert Splawn, chief medical officer for the health department, was named interim chief medical officer. Well, everything's all better now, isn't it? And I'm going to betray my vindictive side right about now, because I don't think that's good enough. I don't think anyone associated with this woman's death should be allowed to be anywhere near civilized human society ever again. Now, you might say, well, you know, Bob, it sounds like you've got the same punishment fetish the rest of the country does. Well, no, not really. I just want, I would like for Dr. Roger Peeks to live the kind of life that the people who come in desperation to his emergency room live. I would like for him to know what it is to wonder where the next meal is coming from, not where the next cocktail party is. I wonder how Dr. Roger Peeks would get along on, say, a disabled person's SSI check. Because, you know, when you get up around where Dr. Roger Peeks is, they've got a word for that, that SSI check. You know what they call it? You know what they call it in those circles? I can tell you because I've damned well heard it used. It's called the drunk check. In the middle and the upper class, there is this misconception that the federal government will give you a check every month for being an alcoholic or a drug addict or just for being generally pathetic. I heard I heard a person here where I live the other day refer to the women who have babies so they can get more money from welfare. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. But that's okay, because the well-heeled like to think it does. It makes them feel so much more superior to the poor folk, as if the poor folk were a lesser grade of human than they. Nine times out of ten, the poor folk are actually a hell of a lot more resourceful than the well-heeled. Because if the well-heeled need something, they just go out and then buy it, because they can. Right? I've seen the resourcefulness of poor folk all over this country. I saw it when I was down in Alabama not too long back. I saw a guy in a truck, an old, rusty, rattling, falling apart pickup truck, who drives along ahead of the city sanitation, picking up old TVs, worn out couches. And I just I stopped him and I asked him, you know, what are you doing? He said, man, I pick these things up. These people throw out things that ain't nothing wrong with. All they got to do is have a little fix, and they're good as new. And I fix them, and I give them to people what need them. Give them. Give them. It might be a mattress and box springs. It might be a couch. It might be a television. It might be an old stereo. It might be a stove or a refrigerator that all it needs is a refrigerant. But the consumer class has decided that it's too much trouble to get it fixed when they can just go out and buy one that's fresh off the boat from China twice as easy. See, that's why we're in the hell of a lot of the spot we're in. Because we live in a disposable consumer culture. Oh, Jesus, am I doing a sermon? Somebody stop me. See, that look. A couple of nights ago, I'm sitting at, you know, you wait until 15 minutes before the show, and then bing, ding, 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 all the lines light up. I don't like it when I sit here and get on my high horse. I don't like it because I'm no better. I am no better at all. Now, granted, we try to make things last as long as we possibly can. And if it's broke, we fix it instead of replace it. We don't have that luxury. But I fear if we did, we would be as bad as the people I am describing. Because it is easy. It is made easy. You ever notice a little adrenaline rush that you get when you go and buy some shiny new thing? There is a rush. Psychologists can tell you that, that there's a brain chemistry thing that goes on when you're running around among all the sparkly stuff in the department store and you say, I'm buying it! Jesus, there's an absolute adrenaline overload that happens when you drive away in the new car. I've felt it. Then a couple of days later, you realized I just paid 10% of the value of this car for the privilege of being the first person to drive it off the lot. I'm a schmuck. And it's like coming down off a binge. Dr. Roger Peeks. Dr. Roger Peeks. It's not, you know, Edith Isabel Rodriguez is not entirely Dr. Roger Peeks' problem. It's the person under Dr. Roger Peeks, and it's the person under Dr. Roger Peeks, and it's all the way down to whatever orderly walked past Edith Isabel Rodriguez four or five times while she was vomiting blood on the floor. What in the hell? Is this as bothersome to you as it is to me? It ought to scare the life out of you because it could be you, and it may someday be me. What's worse, it could be someone I love. It could be my Agnes. It could be your mama or your sister or your baby. And they'll walk past them too. And at the end of the shift, they'll go home and take off the scrubs or whatever the hell they wear and crack open a Budweiser or pour a glass of wine and sit back and watch something inane and mindless on the TV and say, damn, that was a crappy day. Damn! What's wrong? The chaplain in the army that wrote those stupid study guides. What's he doing in the military? What does the military need with a chaplain corps? They're in the business of violating everything that God said we should be about. They're about killing. What do they need with a chaplain? At least crazy old General Patton sent his chaplain out to pray for good weather so he could slaughter Germans from the air and get his tanks moving. That almost makes sense. Why aren't these crazy evangelical dominionist Christians out there helping the Edith Isabel Rodriguez's of the world? Well, I have the answer for you. Because they don't want to. In one breath, they'll tell you that they were called to carry the message of the gospel of Christ Jesus to the unchurched. But if you suggest where they might go and do the real work of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter who never had a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, they'll tell you that that's not their calling. We're a failure. Do you understand? We, as a nation, are a failure. Because when we fail the Edith Isabel Rodriguez's of the world, we fail altogether. Because a place that calls itself a nation of laws and not of persons, that does not have equal treatment for Edith Isabel Rodriguez, cannot be said to be living up to its own standards. What do you suppose would have happened to Edith Isabel Rodriguez in a better hospital? Because I can guarantee you, I don't have the details here. They just say things like latest high-profile lapse at King Harbor, formerly known as King Drew. That means this kind of crap happens there all the time. Wonder why. Could it be because it's one of those places that is the last resort for the weak, the weary, and the wounded, the desolate and the desperate, and the dying? And so it gets enough of these federal funds that they want to take away from it now, just to sort of maintain a minimal standard. Oh, and by the way, before I forget, let's remember that Edith Isabel Rodriguez's husband now, according to George W. Bush and his Republican compassionate cronies, has, in their own words, won life's lottery. That is how George Bush once described a woman. I forget, she either had the wrong leg taken off and then had to have the other leg taken off, or she had the wrong breast removed and then had to have the other breast removed. She sued the negligent, incompetent, heartless bastard of a doctor in a hospital, and she won, and George Bush said that that maimed woman had won life's lottery. And now, Jose Prado. No. Wait, he wasn't her husband. He was only the boyfriend, so he hasn't won life's lottery. Screw you, Jose, because we don't honor that kind of relationship. This is emblematic of our problem, you see. This isn't just an isolated incident. There's nothing isolated about it. It's a manifestation of the overall agony that exists in the working and the poorer class of America all over this once great nation. Now, at the same time that I was downloading that story, the folks there where I was downloading it thought I would also like to know that Prince Harry says we will never be normal, and that Britney's mama is siding with K-Fed in the custody dispute. Meanwhile, Dan Rather has incurred the ire of some goober by the name of Les Moonves at CBS, because Dan Rather says that CBS News is trying to get its ratings back by dumbing down the news and tarting it up. And Katie Couric is just... she's so miffed. Dan Rather didn't say that Katie Couric was a tart. It's a generic term. And you know what? He's right. Of course, that's not to say that Dan Rather never did a fluff story. Now, Edith Isabel Rodriguez's story is getting a little bit of press here. Day late and a dollar short, as we like to say here in the hills. Because, you see, Edith Isabel Rodriguez's story isn't that she vomited blood to death on the floor of a stinking, underfunded hospital that nobody gives a damn because it only serves poor people. Edith Isabel Rodriguez's story was what happened before she ever walked in the door. ...43 years old. There's a photograph. If you go look up the look it up, she is old before her time. Edith Isabel Rodriguez's story is the same story that anybody named Smith or Jones or Wang, who lives in the lower classes, can tell you time after time after time after time. And it is a story, frankly, that neither CBS, nor NBC, nor Fox, nor ABC, nor CNN, or MSNBC, or CNBC, or any of the rest of the alphabet frauds that call themselves professional journalists are even remotely interested in telling you. Because it's blasé. It's mundane. It is the banality of personal poverty and desperation. It's a life in a city where people die just trying to go get a pack of gum because they're beaten in the back of the head with a baseball bat. This is the America you live in. You may not see it. It may not be all over you. It may not be in your face. But this is your America. And you had best adopt those words. If you've not done it unto the least of me, these, you've also not done it unto me. Because, sunshine, this crap keeps up. It's gonna get done to you. And like I said, what's worse, you may just get to watch while it gets done to somebody you love. Unless you get off your ass and do something about it. What do you do? I don't know. I am not the shell answer man. But here's a hint. If you see something and it occurs inside your brain that there is anything at all you could do to make a bad situation better, go do it! Don't wait! It may be the only chance you get. It may be the moment that defines your existence. Don't wait. If you perceive a need, fill it. Don't wait to be inspired by God or someone to assure you that it will make your afterlife better. Make the life you have here better. Make it better for someone else. Because it is the only hope. It is the only hope. Because no one else will do it if you don't. And I'm very, very uncomfortable saying these kinds of words because I know there is stuff that I don't do that I should. But knowing that, I stand as convicted as the rest of us. And I stand as in need as much of putting my own advice into practice as anyone else. And I'm not criticizing. If you're already doing it, great, do more. Because there's no dress rehearsal. This is it! And I will be bothered by the story of Edith Isabel Rodriguez. Frankly, I'm likely to think of it every time I walk into a hospital, because I get the screaming heebie-jeebies every time I get near one of these places. Because I know, among other things, that you are more likely to get killed in a hospital than you are in just about any other place in the United States, because we have a broken for-profit system. because we have a health care system that's more concerned with corporate bonuses than it is with corporate health. Corporate as in the body, not the company. So with that, I'll knock off for the evening. Sorry for the shortened show, but thanks so much to Ben Birch for getting things going just the same. I'm not kidding when I say that he's the hardest working man in liberal talk. Tomorrow evening, a conversation regarding the writings of Thomas Jefferson I think you'll enjoy, and some follow-up on a story that we reported a month or so ago. You won't like that one either. Thanks to Agnes, who's off picking up the youngin' from football camp. Thanks to our IT consultant and future fabulous radio host, Peter Godbold, of Strictly Confidential and of Godbold Computer Systems of Services of Tallahassee, Florida. Thanks to John Fox, our engineer. Thanks to Brian Reznor, our announcer. Many thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters who helped us start this network and therefore are helping to save the American dream while in fact they build the American dream. Nighty-night, Liza. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. American jobs and American security in cases of the Merchant Marine, where ships that had been American registry and flying the American flag have been transferred to foreign countries so that people who haven't yet figured out that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses can make a lot more money. That's enough to make you scream. After that, of course, your phone calls are welcome. 304-658-5453 or toll free 877-443-2366. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. In Samarra, northern Iraq, al-Qaeda bombers are suspected of destroying the two minarets today that were left standing last year when a revered Shiite mosque's huge golden dome was destroyed. The bold attack has put Iraqi officials on high alert, with the prime minister imposing a curfew in Samarra and 60 miles away in Baghdad and calling in more U.S. troops to be ready for an uprising between rival Sunni and Shiite factions. The mosque contains the tombs of two holy imams that died 1,100 years ago. A U.S. general says the bombing was an inside job, and 15 security officers that guard the sacred site have been arrested. Retaliatory attacks